I was sitting there thinking, just like Brother Carl, as I was listening to all those songs, of all the messages that have already gone through over this pulpit tonight. And I was thinking of what it would be like, dear ones, to be in heaven. I don't know what your comprehension is of heaven, but I can only imagine being there and being able to hear the saints singing from now through eternity. And I'm one that I'm not very good at singing. But I've got, like my dad used to say, that little man down in my heart, and he gets to jumping. And he gets to singing, and I'm going to tell you, when the Lord touches our hearts, it causes something to come forth. There is something that comes out of the heart of mankind when God is in tune with our hearts that it just comes out. And I thank the Lord for that tonight. I appreciate the blessings of the Lord, and I appreciate how the Lord can minister to our hearts. I want you to remember, though, we preachers get a lot of blame for the clock. So just remember what time it is. And I know you're probably saying for me to remember that too, and so I'll try to do that by the help of the Lord. I'd like to talk to us tonight about the effects of righteousness or of salvation. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, we're seeing some of the effects of that tonight. It makes you a part. That one song said, from an orphanage to the house of a king. That's one of the things that the Lord, salvation does. Righteousness will take us when we don't deserve anything and just an outcast, and it'll take us from a low spot and it'll lift us up to be a child of the king. It said, one of the songs they said, it's different now. I want to tell you, that's one of the things that salvation will do. It'll make a difference in our lives. It'll change us, dear ones. And to where, you know what, we even be glad to sit in 100-degree weather to be able to hear the songs of Zion and to be able to worship the Lord. There's not a lot of people that do that in the world today. But I'm going to tell you, it'll make a difference when you have something down there that's in tune with all that the Lord has. I am very thankful tonight for the effect of salvation. I'm very thankful, dear ones, that the Lord has seen fit to call after our hearts. I can say without hesitation that I'm very grateful for the blessings of salvation in my life. I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that it's the best decision that I ever made in life. I have no regrets. When I look back over my life and I begin to consider all these things, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, I have no regrets that I chose to live for the Lord and that the Lord chose to call me that I could be able to do that. I was thinking, we sing a song that says, salvation is the sweetest thing that mortal ever found. My soul can never cease to sing, such love and peace abound. And I wonder tonight if that's your testimony. Do you find that true in your experience in living for the Lord? I'd like to ask us tonight, what effect has our experience, our spiritual experience, been having on our life? And I'm asking that for every one of us. And I'd like for you to ask yourself that tonight. What experience has my, what effect has my experience been having on my life and on the life of those around me? I'd like for you to turn with me, if you will, to a scripture in Isaiah, the 32nd chapter. I need your prayers tonight. I'm going to tell you, this is not what I had when I came to the campgrounds. And it wasn't even what I had this morning, but I began to look to the Lord today, and He totally took me off in a different direction. And so I, as you ministers know, that can make you nervous. I need the Lord, and I need your prayers tonight. In Isaiah, the 32nd chapter, in the 17th verse, he said, "In the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever." The prophet Isaiah said, "The work of righteousness shall be peace." Now, peace, Webster defines peace as freedom from disturbance, quiet, tranquility, mental calm, serenity, freedom from the cessation of war or violence. Dear ones, I want you to look around in our world today. Our world is filled with strife and contention. It's filled with violence, with wars, with hatred. It's filled with ethnic and racial tension. It's filled with all kinds of things, dear ones, and it just seems like it's getting worse and worse as time goes on. And there's a reason for that. One of the reasons, dear ones, is because our world and our nation is drifting farther and farther from God. And the opposite of righteousness is unrighteousness. And dear ones, the scriptures are very clear about what sin is and the effects of sin. If you'll turn and look over in Galatians, the 5th chapter, I know this is very familiar scripture, but I want to read to you a little of a description of the works of the flesh. It says in Galatians 5 and 19, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in times past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." When you hear all of these things, does that sound like something that you want to have in your life? No, it isn't, isn't it? When you hear all these things, can you just visualize for just a moment the grief, the heartache, and the pain that these things cost? Have you ever heard the cry of a broken heart? That pitiful cry of a broken heart that sin has taken and entered into their life or the lives of those around them, and it has just wrung out all the joys of life. Broken homes, broken lives. I was just this week, there was a man, I was in a meeting with him, and you know men don't like to cry, especially in public. This man had gone through some things in his life. He'd caught his wife in the very act of adultery. And he was heartbroken. He was devastated. And it affected him so much he couldn't even come to work many times. But he was slowly trying to get over it and work through it. And he was in the meeting and we were talking, and one of the things, and he was there and he was just kind of like this. He was so frustrated at what had happened, yet he was so hurt, and he was crying, and he didn't want to be crying. And I looked at him and I thought, how sad. Do you know, dear ones, that's what sin does? That's the effects that sin has upon people's lives. It comes in and it just tries to wring out every ounce of joy and happiness out of our lives. When you look at these things, dear ones, this is the effect that sin has upon mankind. And when I see this, this is why, dear ones, that God has tried from the very beginning of time to warn mankind that the effects or the wages of sin is death. The songwriter said, the wages of sin is death. It's bitter remorse and woe. But I want you to know, dear ones, that this is also why that God sent His Son into this world. To bring about a plan of salvation that could take and deliver mankind out of that awful curse of sin that is there to destroy souls. To rob the happiness. I looked as I saw all these young people up here and, oh, it rejoiced my heart. The innocency, the purity. When I see the songs and the joy and I see them raising their hands and, oh, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, the devil doesn't like it, but I'm going to tell you that it rejoices our heart, doesn't it? But you know, the devil is doing everything he can to squelch that out of their lives, to wring it out. But dear ones, God sent His Son into this world to take and make it possible for you and I to enjoy the effects, the blessings, and the benefits of salvation. There's a scripture. I want to look at what the prophet in Zechariah, the 13th chapter, says. Zechariah, the 13th chapter, in the first verse, it says, "In that day there shall be a fountain opened in the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness." I'm thankful this evening for that fountain that's been opened for you and me. That fountain that's been opened, what does it say, for sin and for uncleanness. Do you know, dear ones, I'm thankful that He didn't just take and leave you and I here in this old sinful world with no hope, with no help, and with no happiness. I'm thankful, dear ones, that God made a plan of salvation that could take and redeem mankind and give us hope that can give us an experience of salvation where these songs that we've been hearing can minister to our heart and they can ring true. I want to turn and look at a scripture over here now in Revelations. Revelations, the 21st chapter, in the 5th verse, it says, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Do you remember what it said from an orphanage? What? To the house of a king. Dear ones, Christ made it possible for you and I to be sons, heirs, and joint heirs with Christ because of the love that he had for you and I. And I'm thankful for that. But I want you to notice something. It says, it is done. Do you know, dear ones, it's not off out there somewhere in the future somewhere like so many people in our world are saying. But he said it's done. Today is the day of salvation. Right now we can enjoy what we're enjoying here. Everyone here can enjoy. But not just everyone here. All of those that we come in contact. The man that I was talking to you about. And all of those that are out there. Dear ones, everyone can enjoy this wonderful plan of salvation. Because he said it is done. Do you know it's available for you and I tonight? This is something, dear ones, that God has. He said, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." If you're here tonight, I want you to know you can drink freely from this fountain. If you're here tonight and your life is dry and barren, and as you listen to these songs going forth, and you looked at the countenance on the faces of the saints, when you saw Brother Carl, it was just more than he could contain and he had to leap up. If you don't feel that, I want you to know, dear ones tonight, that you can drink from this fountain. If your life is dry and barren, if sin has wreaked havoc in your life, some of those things that I've been talking about and where he's twisted and wrung out all the joy of life. And he's left you bitter, hopeless, helpless. If he's left you with nothing but anger and frustration, I want to encourage you tonight to drink from this fountain. Why? Because, dear ones, if you go back over here to Isaiah, you'll find that the prophet said, "In the work of righteousness shall be what? Peace. The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever." Dear ones, I want you to know something tonight. If you will take and drink of this fountain, God will take and make your life a blessing. Not only to you, but to all of those around you. The Lord, when he began to talk to me about this, he began to bring some thoughts to my mind that I like to share with you that illustrate what I'm talking about. Perhaps some of you that are here know of and heard me talk about our love of the mountains. We love to go to the mountains. And we have for several years on our anniversary, since our children were small, in August, we'd take and we'd go out to New Mexico and we'd be out there in the mountains there, and it's been something that has been a real blessing to us and to our children. And it's generally hot like this in Oklahoma in August, 100 plus degrees. And we'd take and we would leave from there and we'd drive out to New Mexico. And as we would pull into the canyon in the evening, it'd be about 60 degrees. And the first thing we would do is roll the windows down. You know why we did that? We wanted that mountain air. We'd been through all the heat and all the traveling. It was hot nearly just like this all the way until we crossed over in that pass and we begin to come down into the mountains. And we get in there and we roll that window down. It's in the low 60s. And we just arrive through there and, oh, this feels so good. Wouldn't it feel good tonight? Can you see why we like to go there? We take and we go there and we park our little trailer by the river there, and where we would sit at nighttime, sometimes you'd get down in the 30s. And we'd sit around the campfire, and I know you can't imagine that tonight. Not in August, but that's all we do. And we'd sit around the campfire, and we listen. And that stream would be flowing down through there. And as it bubbled over those rocks, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, there's something that's peaceful about that. It was a place for years we couldn't even get cell phone coverage, which was a real blessing. And we'd have quietness. It was a place of peace and quietness, relaxation, and it was so refreshing. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's a place where the Lord's met me many times. He's given me thoughts there, and it's just been such a blessing. Well, we've enjoyed it so much that one year, my wife decided, she said, you know what? I think I want a fountain in our backyard. I want a waterfall that flows down so that I can hear the water flowing, and it'll remind me of the mountains. And so we bought this stuff, and my son, I think it was for Mother's Day, he took and he dug it all out, and we built a fountain. It's a big fountain that has a waterfall. Some have seen it. And it goes down, and it's a big hole in the ground. It's full of rocks. It's called a disappearing fountain. And that fountain would go there. It wasn't like the mountains. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, we've received a lot of blessings from that as well. And in the spring and in the fall when it's a little cool, you could close your eyes and you could almost imagine being in the mountains. Well, we have taken many times and sit out there or even in the house and you hear that and it would remind us of that place that we loved. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, the Lord wants something to remind you and I. He wants something to remind you and I of something that is greater than this whole world. But you know, dear ones, I found that while that fountain was a blessing to us, we weren't the only ones that got a blessing from it. I was talking to my wife one day, and it was in the summer, and it was hot. And I told her, I said, I'm worried about the dog. He's not been drinking much water lately. I've been putting a bucket out there every day and filling it up for a long time. But after we got that fountain, it just seemed like he quit drinking. And she said, well, he's probably drinking out of the fountain. And so I started watching him, and sure enough, I noticed him one day, and he was out there, and he just acted like he just enjoyed it. And I began to understand why. Because as that water flowed over those rocks, he not only kept the water clean, but as it drew it out of that depths, it was cooler, like it was coming from a fountain, from a stream. And so once that dog partook of that water, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, he wouldn't drink from that bucket anymore. And dear ones, it's the same thing with salvation. If you and I can somehow get souls to just get a real taste of salvation, if they can taste and see that the Lord is good, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it'll run them for anything else. And it'll cause people to stop drinking from the stale waters that man has as well. Well, I received a blessing from the dog getting a blessing. Because you know what? I was having to go out there and fill that bucket all the time. But I didn't have to do that anymore. When I realized that dog was drinking from the fountain, I put that bucket away. And you know what? That fountain was so big, I hardly ever had to put any water in it. Just occasional rains would keep it full. And it was fresh, and the dog liked it. And you know what? I didn't have to worry when we went someplace who was going to water the dog or if his bucket got turned over. You know, that's just like salvation. Do you know what, dear ones? When the Lord blesses us, it just keeps right on blessing. And it just goes from one to another. You know, I was thinking about that and how that when we get a blessing and the Lord gives us something, it's not just for us. It's intended for others as well. And I thought about how you and I, as we go through trials, and yes, we do, we're just like anyone else, dear ones. We go through trials and tests of life. But you know, dear ones, when we go through those and the Lord comes down and he begins to talk to our hearts and he gives us a song or a scripture and it blesses our soul in the midst of that trial, what's the first thing you want to do? You want to tell someone, doesn't you? So Wednesday night comes around, and I hope you do go to prayer meeting. I know it's not popular in our world today, but I'm going to tell you, dear ones, you get a blessing there. When that happens and you go to prayer meeting, you get up and you begin to tell of the trial that you're going through and how the Lord came down and this is what he gave me. Oh, dear ones, you know what happens when you do that? Pretty soon, and I've watched it over and over, somebody else pops up over here and says, that's the same trial I've been going through, and that's exactly what I needed. And then somebody else pops up over here, and they say, oh, the Lord blessed me with that. And it's so, you know what happens? you get a blessing from them getting a blessing. And you see how it is? It just keeps right on going. The Lord wants to bless you and I. But you know, dear ones, it wasn't just the dog that got a blessing from that fountain. Do you know the birds did as well? These are things that I never even thought of when we decided we wanted that fountain. But you know what? We watched those birds. And in the heat of a summer like this, and those birds would fly in there, and we've seen all kinds of birds, beautiful birds. And we watch them come in there, and I'm going to tell you, and I won't go, there's lots of lessons watching birds. As they're drinking, and they're caught, you know, they don't just go and just sit there. They're watchful. I'm going to tell you, there's lessons for us to learn in that. The Lord wants you and I also to be watchful. But as we watch those birds, and they would come in there, and I'd see them, and they'd be getting that drink from that fountain, and every once in a while, I'd see one of them birds, and they get under there, and they just, all over their wings. And they'd taken a bath or a shower, I guess it was, because it was coming off of that falls. And then they would fly off, and you'd hear those birds just singing. And my wife and I talked different times how those birds were probably going off and thanking the Lord for providing them such a wonderful fountain. Oh, dear ones, I want you to know something tonight. This is exactly what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to create a fountain of living water in your heart and in my heart that will not only be a blessing to you, and it will not only bring times of refreshing in our lives, but, dear ones, it'll overflow and it'll reach out and it'll bless all of those around us. Oh, dear ones, I believe the Lord wants it to be something that is a rich blessing to our souls. He doesn't want to provide something for you and I that's a drudgery. He don't want to, you know, it wouldn't have been beneficial to say, oh, you know, dear, sir, come on, let's go out. We're going to have to sit by the old fountain tonight. You know, we wouldn't do that. Do you know, dear ones, God doesn't want salvation to be that way in our lives. He wants it to be something that is a blessing to you and I, that causes you and I to say, oh, you know what? Let's open the window. I want to hear that. I want to get in that place, in that still place with the Lord where He can flood His blessings on my soul. Do you know, dear ones, God has something for us that is rich. But, dear ones, He wants it to be something even more than that. He wants it to be something that reminds us of a place that we long to go to. He wants it to be something that would cause you and I to want to go to that place of peace, of quietness, a place where there's no sorrows or heartaches or troubles. Do you know, dear ones, the Lord wants to give you and I a little piece of heaven right here in our lives. And that's what He does with His wonderful plan of salvation. Now think about a scripture. In Ephesians, the first chapter. In Ephesians, the first chapter in the 12th verse, it says that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth and the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Dear ones, I want you to know something. God has given us something here that will take and not only bless our lives and the lives of those around about us, but it'll give us a little glimpse of heaven, and it'll give us a greater yearning and a longing to be able to be there someday. But I want you to know something. Satan doesn't want you and I to have that. And dear ones, Satan will do everything within his power to undermine your experience of salvation, to rob you of the joys of your salvation, and to be able to stop up the fountain. I want to tell you about this fountain. After it was built, we enjoyed it for a few years, and everything went well. But one year, unbeknownst to me, the gophers began to dig underneath that fountain. I'd seen telltale signs of them all around the yard. But they got under there, and I didn't think anything about it. And I didn't notice it at first. But after a while, I began to notice that I had to feel that fountain more often than I used to. And so at first I thought, well, we're going through a drought, and the dogs and the birds are probably drinking more water because it's so hot and it's just taking more water. And so I keep filling it up. But you know what? It kept getting more and more frequent until it was weekly. And then finally, it began to be every day. And I knew that somewhere I was losing water because I knew those dogs, those birds weren't drinking that much water. And so one day, I came home and my wife told me, she said, the fountain is not working. She said, I put more water in it, but it's not doing anything. And I went out there and I began to check it, and sure enough, the pump wasn't working at all. So I had to dig the rock back and get down to the pump, and I pulled it out, and it was burned up. It run out of water. Well, I got a new pump. But I realized that it wouldn't do me no good to put a new pump in that fountain because it'd just burn it up as well. And so you know what I had to do? I didn't want to do it, but I had to dig all those rock out of there. Now that sump is probably about that deep, and it's yay big around. And I had to dig all those gravel out of there and take that lining out. Now that was a lot of work, and I'm going to tell you what I did. I decided I don't want to have to do this again. So you know what I did? When I put that lining in, I didn't put one or two or three. I put four or five linings on top of that, and I said, they're going to have to work to get through this one. You know what? And then I filled it back up. Well, you know that fountain became a blessing again. But I want you to know something tonight. If you're here and you've had an experience of salvation like we're talking about, and like you've seen and what you've seen, the joy on the face of the saints, and something has happened, and the enemy has come in somehow into your life, and he has eroded away the joys of salvation, I want you to know there's still hope. I want you to know, dear ones, that you don't have to hang your harps on the willow trees and just say it's all over. I want you to know, dear ones, there is hope in Jesus. Dear ones, the Lord is able to take and restore. I thought about what the sister said back here when she was requesting prayer the other day for her daughter. And she said that the cords that were broken might what? Vibrate once more. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, God's able to do that. When the pump quits flowing and the Spirit of God quits flowing in your life, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's not a time to quit and hang up. It's a time to start digging. And once you find out where the enemy made inroads into your life, I want to tell you, double up there. Ask the Lord to give you a double portion of grace or strength or whatever it is. If it's something that maybe the cares of life or temptations or something, I want to ask you to take and double up on that area. Whatever it takes, distance yourself from those things. Because, dear ones, you don't want to go back to that place again. Once you experience the real blessings of salvation, you want to take and do whatever you can. I don't want to have to do that again. I think about the scripture there in Peter, 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, in the 9th verse. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm thankful, dear ones, that we serve a loving and a merciful God, one that is so interested in you and I, that when we stumble and when we fall, he's right there to lift us up. And I want to encourage you tonight, don't give up. Don't give up. Begin to start digging when you find yourself in this place. I'm going to tell you what I did. Once I got the pump and the fountain going again, I began to watch. I began to watch for those gophers. Because I knew the damage that they could do, and I didn't want them getting back there again. And when I began to see the telltale signs of those gophers in my yard, you know what I did? I began to take and put down the tick and the other, like the diazinol. It's not that now. I forget what it's called. It's the tick and flea stuff. I don't know if you know that. But what I found is that when I get gophers in my yard and I take and I go put all that over the yard, you know what happens? They disappear. And it's because it kills the grubs and all the other things that are down in the ground there. And those gophers won't stay there if there's nothing to eat. And I'll see in my yard, I'll start clearing up, and all of a sudden in my neighbor's yard, you start seeing all these gopher holes. And I know where they went. But you know what I know? If they're there, they'll come back if I don't keep on to it. And so when I begin to see something happening in my yard, I know it's time. And it's time right now because of all the rain. And I begin to see some of them, and I've got a chore to do. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, we need to do the same thing in our lives. When you begin to see the devil in your yard, in your home, in your congregation, or in your life, and you begin to see telltale signs that the enemy is working, that's a good indication that there's other little things below the surface that he's feeding on. And dear ones, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to address those little things or you'll never get rid of the devil. Because as long as there's things in your heart, in your life, in your home that is attracting the enemy, you can pray and you can pray and you can pray, but as long as he's got something there, he's going to say, that's mine. And I've got a right. I've got a key to get in the door. You remember what Jesus said? He said, Satan cometh and what? He hath nothing in me. There was nothing that Satan could do, dear ones, because there was nothing there that Satan could say, that's mine. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, if you and I will take care of the little things like we've been hearing in this meeting, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, you'll just take away the enemy's key, the right that he has to come in and bombard into your lives. But I want you to know something. It's not just gophers that will stop up the fountain. After I got all that done, you say, well, it's all done. It's over with. And I thought it was. But you know what? Something began to happen. And over time, that fountain began to take and lose the flow that it had. It wasn't flowing quite as strongly over that fountain like it did. At first, I didn't recognize it. It was so subtle, just little at a time, that I didn't recognize that the fountain was not flowing like it did. But you know what I did notice? I noticed that the rocks in the fountain began to have algae and other things growing on them where the water wasn't going. I thought, well, I looked at it and I thought, I don't know why it's not doing this. It don't seem to be flowing, but the water must be just finding another path back to the sump. But it was flowing enough that the dog was doing okay and we could hear it. And so I thought, well, I'll just leave it. It'll be okay. But you know what happened? Little by little, that flow began to keep getting less and less and less. After a while, I began to notice that I began to bust hoses on the pump. And I dig them out and I think, well, these hoses are just old. I put another one on it and it busted. They don't make them like they used to. I changed that hose. And after the last time I changed that hose, now this fountain just flows over those rocks. But what had happened, it got to the point where it's just a trickle. And I watched the dog when he came up there and he had to lick the rock just to get the water. And I said, no, we got to do something. This is not going to work. And so I began to take and I began to dig into it. I said, there's something wrong. And I suspected the pump was bad. And so I took it and pulled it out. And I took the hose loose and it just seemed to pump. And I thought, well, maybe it's lost its efficiency and it can't pump that head. And so I began to take and I got a hose loose and I run it up there to the top. And I was like, whoa. I mean, the water just gushed over that fountain. And so then my wife said, well, the grandchildren were climbing on there, so maybe that happened. I thought, well, maybe it pinched the hose. So then I had to go digging again. And I started digging those rocks away from that hose so that I could pull it out. And I was pulling it out, and I got to looking up and down that hose, and I thought, there's not a kink one in this hose. What's wrong with this thing? And so I went up there, and I took it loose where it came into the fountain. And you know what I found? I caused the problem. When we built the fountain, you know how fittings aren't always the same. And the fitting on the little fountain wasn't the same as the hose that I had there. It was bigger. The hose was. And so instead of going and getting a bigger fitting, I took duct tape. You know, you can fix anything with duct tape. And so I took that duct tape and I wrapped it around that fitting several times. And I put extra on there for good measure. And I put that hose on there and I clamped it down and it worked all those years. But you know what happened? Over time, the pressure from that pump hitting that duct tape, where it was sticking past the end of that, it began to bend it over little by little until it got to the point to where all there was just a little hole in it. I looked at that and I thought, oh, well, that's easy. I got my pocket knife out and I cut it all out. And I put it back together and I kicked the pump on and the water was flowing over there. But I thought, something's still wrong. It's still not like it was when I just put that hose up there. I looked at it for a little bit and I thought, well, it'll be all right. It's flowing enough. And then I thought, no, it's not. It's not right. And so I took it back apart again and there was nothing. And I thought, what is doing this? You know what I did? I finally had to take with the pump on. I pulled the hose loose and it was spraying everywhere. And I looked in the end of it and it was a little flat rock. In all the times of taking that little flat rock, it got in that hose. And when I'd shut it off, the water would go back down into the sump. And I'd look in there and there was nothing. And I put it back together and that rock would come up and it would go across that hole. And I don't know how many times I looked at that until I did it under pressure and I said, there it is. And I took the rock out. You know what happened when I did that? That fountain flowed like I don't ever remember it flowing that much. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, there are spiritual lessons that the Lord has for us in these things. Dear ones, the Lord wants you and I to recognize that there are things in our lives sometimes that will hinder the presence of the Lord. There's things sometimes, dear ones, that the enemy will take and hinder the flowing of the Spirit in our lives, in our midst, in our congregations, in our assemblies like this. And dear ones, when that happens, we need to begin to take and begin to start, we need to start digging down. We need to begin to look into our hearts and lives. What is it that is restricting the flow? We need to begin to take and look at this. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, the enemy wants to take and rob you of the joys of salvation. I found that when I took and I pulled that out, and I told you, I thought it'll be okay. Do you know what I found many times in people's lives? People begin to be content with the restricted flow. I found that people will take in their lives and a little something will creep into their lives and it begins to impede the real moving of the Spirit in their lives. They don't feel that real closeness with the Lord. They don't feel the Lord answering their prayers like He once did. They don't feel the joy of the Lord just flooding their soul, and they don't have those times near as often where the Lord comes down when they're all alone and He just pours out a blessing. Do you know what the temptation is? I'm saved. I'm doing okay. What do we hear this morning? It's on the cup. I've got that cup. This is it, dear ones. But what happens, dear ones, is the Spirit of the Lord is not flowing in our lives. And little by little, the enemy will begin to work until there's nothing in our experience but a trickle. And we'll begin to find that our lives are not only not blessing us, but it's not blessing others around us as well. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, the Lord wants you and I to begin to start doing some digging in our lives. When we begin to see that the Spirit of the Lord, something is hindering the Spirit of the Lord, whether it's in our individual lives or in our assemblies, we need to take in that time and get down to earnest and begin to start searching our hearts and the Lord, asking the Lord, Lord, what is it? We cannot afford, dear ones, to continue on with restricted flow. You know what I found is when that happens in our life, people will begin to recognize that this is not working like it once did. They begin to find that, you know, I don't have the things, the patience, the kindness, the long-suffering. I don't have those fruits of the Spirit flowing in my heart and life. And I start popping off, busting hoses, so to speak. I begin to speak a little tough to my wife or my children, to the neighbors. I get more aggravated as I'm driving down the road. You see, there's things that begin to happen. You say, well, I didn't notice it at first, just like I didn't. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, if you begin to watch your life, you'll see the telltale signs when the Spirit is not flowing in our life like it was. You'll see little things taking root in our heart and growing where before the fountain used to, the flow of this fountain used to keep it all cleared away. And we'll find that we're having to continually go back and cleanse ourselves, so to speak, of things. I don't feel just quite right. I don't feel like I handle that just right. And I'm constantly going back to the Lord. Lord, oh, why am I struggling with this? I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when that happens, it's not a time to be discouraged. It's not a time to just settle back and say, that's just the way it is. The Lord's not blessing like He used to. I'm going to tell you, that's a time that you and I need to begin to do some digging. I know it's hard and I know it's tempting to just say, oh, everything's okay. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's critical. It's vital for our spiritual experience that we begin to do some digging in earnest. Because you know what I found? I found that when people don't do that, and as that flow begins to restrict more and more, they begin to complain. You begin to hear them say, It's just not like it used to be. I remember when the saints used to. I remember how God used to. And I begin this and that. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, if he's not doing it today, then we need, as individuals and as the congregation, need to begin to get down in earnest. We need to do some digging until we find the source and the Lord reveals it. You know, he did that for Joshua in the battle of Ai. There were things that hindered them, and precious souls lost their lives. But I'm going to tell you, when they got down on their faces before the Lord in earnest, the Lord came by and he began to reveal to them, this is the cause. Oh, dear ones, I hope you get the burden of my heart tonight. And that clock's going around, so I'm going to quit. But I want you to know, dear ones, the Lord has a plan of salvation that works. I don't care what the devil tells you. I don't care how many times he says it's the preacher's fault or it's these people's fault or the Lord is just, he's just not blessing like he used to. I'm going to tell you, if he's not, we need to get down and we begin to dig. Because, dear ones, what does it say? The work of righteousness is what? Peace. And the effect is what? What? Quietness. Dear ones, I'm going to tell you, the Lord has something for you and I. It works. This plan of salvation, dear ones, it works. It will deliver souls from sin today, just like it always has. It'll heal. It'll bring about divine healing. We've heard it. It'll do all the things it has ever done if you and I will allow the Spirit of God to continually flow in our lives. I appreciate your time tonight. But I want you to know, dear ones, this is what it's going to take for you and I. It's going to take it for the church, and it's going to take it for each one of us individually. If there's something in your heart or your life, if there's something, you may be saved tonight. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, if you're not feeling this, if you cannot relate to what was happening here tonight, I want to challenge you. Don't let the devil rob you completely of your salvation. Don't let the devil rob you of the joys that God has for you. It's there. It's available if you'll get down in earnest and begin to dig. Oh, dear ones, as we go from here, we've heard many messages and much encouragement in this meeting. But I'm going to tell you, the devil's out to undermine what you've got. He will be there to steal everything that you got unless you and I keep the Spirit of God flowing in our lives. He wants to take and introduce little things that will take and hinder the Spirit of God from working. But if you and I will be careful, and we'll be diligent to search our hearts and seek the Lord, I'm going to tell you, he'll rain righteousness upon us, a blessing that you and I cannot hardly contain. I appreciate your attention tonight.